Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Please open your Bibles. I hope you have your Bibles with you. We are studying in a ministry meeting, every Shabbat meeting. We are studying a portion from Scripture. We always go from book to book, from chapter to chapter, from verse to verse, in order to know the whole Scripture, the whole Word of God. It helps us to grow in appreciation of the Word of the Lord, not only Genesis, not only Revelation, not only Exodus, and not only the book of Jude, or Yehuda, as we call him in Hebrew, but we study the complete Word of God, and today we are finding ourselves in the book of Titus, and I would like you to turn to the epistle, to the letter of Titus, and we are today in the second chapter, in Titus chapter 2, and I would like to read all those 15 verses of the letter that Shaul Paul wrote to this younger man by the name of Titus in Hebrew, Titus in the English language. So let me read Titus chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Shaul Paul saying to Titus, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptedness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not prolonging or robbing, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us the denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. This is Titus chapter 2, verses 1 to 15. Now for a moment, I would like you once again to look at this map behind me, and you can see the island that is called Crete. Crete was one of the Greek islands upon which Shaul Paul left younger brother Titus for the important purpose. What was the purpose that Titus was left in the island that is called Crete? Chapter 1 and verse 5 tells us, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou should set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city." So apparently, on the island of Crete were many cities. In those cities, there were local assemblies, local congregations, and some even may very well be Jewish believers who have accepted the gospel of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah already there and then in the city of Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago. These Jewish believers who came to celebrate the feast of Shavuot, the feast of Pentecost, have become part of the body of Messiah, part of the body of Christ, and they now have gone back home, you might say, to the island of Crete, and others among the Cretans have accepted the Lord Yeshua the Messiah and form local assemblies, local congregation, local kehilot, local churches as we know them today. But, beloved brothers and sisters, as we know it very quickly and very well, that it doesn't take too long time, and even already there and then, at about the year 62, 63, 64 AD, when the Apostle Paul wrote to Titus, already then and then trouble came along. Already false teachings have been creeping in. Already things that were not honoring to the Lord crept in, and trouble was on the way for the local assemblies in the cities of the island of Crete. And it is very much the same today. We are 2,000 years later. Soon Yeshua is going to come to take us to be with Him in glory. But we are dealing with the same problems today. The necessity to be occupied with Yeshua the Messiah and to have sound teaching based upon the written Word of God that we have in our hands today. To remind you, that when Shaul Paul wrote to Titus some 2,000 years ago, Titus could not open any, you might say, New Testament passage and say, okay, wait a minute, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, oh, wait a minute, I want to read Romans chapter 2, and so on. He couldn't, because the Bible, or you might say the Brit HaChadashah, the New Covenant, was enacting. It was in those days with Apostle Paul and Peter and James and John and Jude, all these early Hebrew believers, they were writing those letters to local congregations that were formed in various towns and various cities around the world. So, already then and there, there were those, as we have read already in chapter 1, that they were already there and then teaching false things. And the Apostle Paul said in chapter 1 and verse 10, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers." And then he even mentioned particularly they of the circumcision. Can you imagine Paul being Jewish? And he's writing about other, in early local assemblies, early Jewish people who had been so much influenced by things that were not necessarily in light of the present day age in which we live in. And they taught things that were really not necessarily from the Word of God. And Paul was opposing it because it was not based on that which he had learned from the glorified Messiah. So he warns the man Titus as he's going to teach the believers at Crete to learn sound teaching, sound doctrine, in order to help them in their spiritual growth. Of course, it didn't take too long, and others came into those local churches, not necessarily anymore from among our own Jewish people, and they brought their own influence with their own doctrine, with their own views and opinion, and many of it was paganism that we know that exists today, and the Apostle Paul was writing against it because he wanted the assemblies, the congregation, to base themselves upon the word of the Lord, and that which the Lord had given unto the people of God. And we are today, brothers and sisters, are in the same danger, the same help we need, like Titus, like the people of Crete, like any other believers everywhere. And we need to be careful and ask the Lord to help us with these things. So now, in the second chapter, after Paul, Shaul, gave Titus the instruction, he was supposed to establish elders, spiritual leaders among the people of God, as we read in chapter 1, he said, I left you in Crete in order that you will ordain elders. The elders are brothers that God would raise that will be godly brothers that will become an example to the local assembly, to the local kehillah. How can the people of God walk aright if they don't have a godly example? So after he gave him those instructions in chapter 1, now in chapter 2 he goes beyond the elders now, and he's speaking to individuals in the local assemblies and congregation in the town, in the city, and in the island of Crete. But you notice what he does. He began this second chapter by speaking directly to Titus. And again, Titus was a younger than the Apostle Paul. And Titus perhaps needed some encouragement. And he said to Titus in verse 1, look at this, chapter 2 and verse 1, but he said, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Titus, in contrast to those who crept in, that he wrote about them in chapter 1 and verse 10, who were unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, says Titus, listen, this will happen. This have occurred already in Crete, in the island, but you must be different, Titus. If you're going to be a blessing to God's people, if God will be able to use you, Titus, among the people of God, you must be different than those vain talkers, those people that crept in unruly and deceivers. You make sure, Titus, that you speak the things which become sound doctrine. This expression, the word sound, simply in the Greek as well as in the Hebrew, it simply means healthy doctrine. In Hebrew we call it limud bari. Limud bari means a healthy learning. Things that are based upon the word of the Lord. Make sure that you understand those things. You learn those things. You remember to Timothy he said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To Titus, he says, Titus, you gotta speak the things which become sound, healthy doctrine, Titus. That word here is hugiano in the Greek, come from the word hygienic, or something that hygiene, you know, the hygiene speak of that which is healthy. Many times we are told, if we go to the airport, if we enter into a hospital, to make sure that we have those, the things that you put on your hand in order to keep yourself hygienic, right, and clean, that you will not get all sort of diseases and sicknesses. Make sure that you are studying the things that are healthy for you, because it will help you to be a blessing to the people of God. Now, the word for speak, in this verse 1, it's not so much now preach, he was also to preach, but in your conduct when you speak with people, maybe one with another, maybe with a small group, maybe at another visitation that you have made. Whenever you speak, make sure that you communicate healthy teaching. Because brothers and sisters, when we leave one another after a conversation together, we are very quickly realize that we have left the conversation and we are concerned. If I left the conversation with a brother, with a sister, with a friend, when I left them and the conversation have ended, did I leave a good, healthy, a message with this brother or this sister or this friend? Hopefully we do. And that's what Titus is saying. Speak the things which become sound doctrine, healthy teaching. If you just go back for a moment to chapter 1 for a moment, just read with me verse 9. Titus 1 verse 9, it said, holding fast the faithful word, as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. You see, he's already said the word sound doctrine in chapter 1, and he's now repeating this to Titus. You make sure that you communicate sound teaching, healthy teachings. You know, because of the days in which we live in today, there is so much confusion existing today. You just open the television. You just open the internet. You read magazines and you read the newspapers. And you have even boards that are filled with information as you travel on the highway. There are so many voices with so many views and opinion about the person of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And one wonder, how can one be able to be sound and healthy spiritually? The only way to do so is as we are occupied with the word of the Lord and with the person of Yeshua, the Messiah. Then we will be able to communicate with others, to others, sound teaching, healthy doctrine. Years ago, somebody said, in one of the meetings that we were together, I'm talking about 20 years ago, one says, you know what? You really don't need doctrine so much. You need love among the people of God, you know. Like the Beatles said, all you need is love. Now listen, we need love among the brethren. We better have love among the brothers and sisters. But we do not need only love. We need light. We need a doctrine, sound teaching. Why? Because God is light. God gave us His Word. God is also love, but God is light. God is truth. We need to learn the truth of the Word of God if we are to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Yeshua the Messiah. So, in chapter 2, Titus 2, verse 1, Shaul Paul speak directly to Titus. Titus, you make sure that you speak, you talk, you say the things which become or belong to sound, to healthy teachings. In Hebrew we say lekach bari, lekach bari. Message that is healthy, that is helping the people of God. And now, from verse 2 of Titus chapter 2 to verse 10, Shaul Paul gives Titus instruction concerning the believer's conduct. You know, after all, brothers and sisters, we were lost once. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Jewish and Gentiles. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God saved us. He sent Yeshua, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah from heaven, who died for us on the shameful Roman cross, who paid the price for our sins. And when we have accepted him, we became part of the family of God, part of the body of Mashiach, the body of Messiah. Now, among the body of Messiah, we have older people, we have younger people, we have males, and we have females, we have boys, we have girls, we have men, we have women, we have believers, Jewish and non-Jewish, those that have come to know Yeshua, the Messiah, as their personal Lord and Savior. Now, if we became believers in Yeshua the Messiah, and we are now part of the assembly, the Kehillah, the body of Messiah, well, we need to have our lives changed. We cannot continue on the way we lived in past days. Things has to be changed. After all, we receive the Holy Spirit of God, Ruach HaKodesh, to indwell within us. We are new creation, Bri'ah Hadasha, new creation. Old things have passed away, now all things become new. We are new creation. Well, how do we conduct ourselves as believers? Are we different than the world? Are we looking like, behaving like, conducting ourselves like the people who do not belong to Yeshua the Messiah? Well, if we behave like this, that is not honoring to the Lord. So the apostle Shaul Paul is instructing Titus that the believers in Yeshua the Messiah need to conduct themselves and to behave different, because we are a testimony to an unsaved world that need to know who Yeshua is. So in those verses, verse 2, verse 3, verses 4 and 5, verses 6 and 8, and verses 9 and 10, he's speaking to various, you might say, various groups among the people of God. He's going to speak to the aged men. He's going to speak to the aged women. He's going to speak to the young women. He's going to speak to the young men. And he's going to speak to the servants, those who are still slaves in those days, in the days of the Roman Empire. There were slaves who became believers in Yeshua the Messiah. And he's challenging all of them, the young and the old, the brother and the sister, the free and the slave, the Jewish and the Gentiles who became believers in Yeshua the Messiah. So he began with the aged men. In Hebrew, the word is zkenim. Zkenim, those that are up in age. And you know, I would like you for a moment to turn with me to a verse in Leviticus chapter 19. In Hebrew we call Leviticus Vayikra, chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32. God have taught our forefathers, the people of Israel, to honor and to respect the older in their midst. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32, he said to Israel, Moses, Moshe said it, to Israel, he said, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, that means the gray hair head, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God, I am the Lord. Notice what God said to Israel. Israel, you ought to respect the elderly in your midst. You are to honor them. You know, sometimes you hear of people who say to us, you know what, in our local assembly, we don't want the older men anymore and the older women there. We want to have the young people just to have good time and just to have some great time as a young people. We can sing the upbeat music and all these things. And they don't realize, beloved brothers and sisters, how blessed are we to have an older brothers and sisters in our midst that we can look at them, and they should be an example to us who are a bit younger than them, because God desire that in any local congregation, local assembly, there will be old and young, male and female, babies who were just born spiritually, and those elders that have gone with the Lord for so many years. So he began by instructing the older men in the island of Crete. Now, these older men in the island of Crete, most of them, of course, was from the Goyim, from the Gentiles, who became believers in Yeshua the Messiah. And he's instructing them. And you notice, you have five times the word be. You notice that in verse 2, be, and then he gives you a list. In verse 3, you have the word be, and then you give a list. In verse 4, you have the word be, and he gives them a list of what they are to be. In verse 6, you have again, be, and he gives a list to these young men. And finally, in verse 9, he's exhorting the servant, and he used the word be. Five times the apostle Shaul Paul telling them what they ought to be or behave. Or they were believers, they have accepted Yeshua the Messiah. They have been brought into the body of Messiah, the body of Christ, but they needed to be practically what they are positionally. Sometimes our position, saved and forgiven, and our practice don't match. Because what we are positionally ought to be, you might say, exampled in our conduct and our behavior. So, what we are, we ought to seek to be. So notice what he began by speaking to the aged men. And he said, Titus, you speak that which is sound doctrine, and you know that in order that the aged men, verse 2, be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. He gave a list that the older, the aged, the zekenim, should be in practical way. They ought to be sober. In other words, they got to have sound mind, clear. They ought to be grave. That thought of being grave is dignified. He continued and he said, they ought to, in verse 2, temperate, sound in their faith, and in charity, and in patience. In other words, the older brothers, who in the midst of the people of God, are to be setting an example. Are to be setting an example. They are to be, as it says here, that least sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, sound in love, sound in patience. Again, the word sound, mentioned many times in the book of Titus, simply means healthy. Healthy in what? Healthy in their faith. Faithful to the Lord in their life. Healthy in their love. Love God and love the people of God, and healthy in their patience. You know, patience, sometimes we think that if we're going to ask God for patience, so he's going to send from heaven 100 grams of patience, so we will be able to be a patient people. But brothers and sisters, the Bible teaches us that patience, you can't get it in any other way unless you go through tribulations. So tribulation worketh patience. These older men of among the people of God have gone through some trouble in their lives. They had opposition to what they decided to do. They have opposition from the unbelieving world. Some of them lost their family members because of their faith in Yeshua, in Jesus, the Messiah. But they are to set the tone. They are to be an example. We have here sober, grave, temperate, a sound in, number one, sound in faith, number two, sound in charity or love, and number three, sound healthy in the manner of how patient they ought to be with the people of God. These are the elderly men in the midst of the people of God in the local assembly in the cities of the island of Crete. I want to read a verse in the book of Psalms. If you turn with me to the book of Psalms, Tehillim in Hebrew, there is a verse in Psalm 71. Psalm 71, we read these words. Psalm 71 and verse 18, we read, "Now also when I am old," the psalmist of Israel says, "and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." You see, the psalmist of our own people Israel was praying to God. He says, "Now that I am old and I have my gray hair," he says, "don't forsake me, God, because I want to be an example to my people Israel. I want to show them your strength, God. I want to be an example to the people of Israel." You know, it's so wonderful. It is in the history of our nation, Israel, or in the body of Messiah in this present day, when an older brother does not want to say, "Oh, well, I've gotten old. I have no use anymore here among the people of God." No, beloved brothers and sisters, the older brother, the older man in the midst of the people of God ought to be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, love, and patience. They are to set the tone among the people of God. And Titus, you go and make sure that you communicate this with the older believers in the local assemblies in the cities of Crete. But it doesn't stop with the older men, beloved brothers and sisters. He continue and he's speaking now and giving instruction to the older women. And again, you know, when I think about the older sisters in the midst of the local assemblies, I tell you, it reminds me of Hannah in the older age, and if you remember Dvorah, she was a judge among the people of Israel. Deborah, or Deborah, or Dvorah in Hebrew, she was called a mother in Israel. Ima be'Israel. She was a mother of our own people in the time of the judges, when there was so much problem in the midst of our nation, Israel. New judges rose because Israel disobeyed the word of the Lord again and again and again. Like today in the last days of the church age, when there is so much confusion, we need mothers. Women, and older women that are godly, that set an example to the people of God. And notice what he says to the mothers, to the skenot, I should say, to the aged women. Notice what he's saying, what Titus was to tell them. In verse 3, "the aged women likewise." What you said to the aged men, you also say to the aged women. "That they be in a behavior as becoming holiness." They are to set an example. They are to be set apart for God. He continues, said, "not false accusers." You know, the word for false accusers in the Greek is diabolos. Come from the word the devil. Listening to the devil already right in the Garden of Eden. Gan Eden have already there. Have beguiled Eve in the Garden of Eden, not listening to the devil and behaving like that. In verse 3, "not given to much wine, not being occupied with that which will cause them not to be sober." He continued, "teachers of good things." Why? Because that they may teach. In other words, they have the responsibility to teach the younger generation. And all brothers and sisters, again, never assume that we can do without the older age men and the age women, because we need the older generation to help us to be an example to each and every one of the younger generation, because God is able to use them in our midst. Look at the history of our people Israel. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses. He was a man of God who gave the law to our people Israel. But when he got old, what an example he was to our nation Israel. What a man he was. And Joshua, a younger man, learned from him. And God used Yehoshua, we read today in the book of Yehoshua, to use Yehoshua to help Israel to enter into the promised land. Just the same like Shaul Paul, the age, he became older and he's instructing Timothy, he's instructing Titus as to the pastoral responsibility that he had given unto them. So, just like the age men, zkenim, the age women, zkenot, have responsibility to be like mothers in Israel. Mothers among the people of God, as they are becoming godly women, become as holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach. Thank God for the sisters that have gone before us. I remember many, many years ago when Brother Shlomo Ostrovsky came to our home, and my wife Irene and I hosted them in our own home. He came with his wife. Her name was Sarah. They were in their late, I think, 80s. And we took them to see the Niagara Falls. And I'll never forget when Sarah, as an older sister, we were sitting to have a coffee somewhere. And I never forget that how she spoke to the young children that were there in that coffee shop or whatever. She was pointing to the Niagara Falls and she was telling to the young kids, isn't it amazing of the wondrous of God, how God have created all things. And she was pointing them to the Lord, to God himself, and to the person of Yeshua the Messiah. These elderly men and women, Shlomo and Sarah, have suffered persecution in their life for the name of Yeshua the Messiah, for many who misunderstood their faith in Yeshua the Messiah, even from among our own people who did not want to acknowledge that Yeshua, that Jesus is the true Messiah and the Savior of this world. But what an example. It was an encouragement to my own heart to see this sister and this brother is an example. Just one more thing to mention. When I went to a conference many years ago, to a Bible teaching conference, there was an elderly sister who told me, Brother Gideon, he said, if the Lord going to give you children, don't wait until they become 15, 16, until you pray with them. Go on your knees, right as babies, and ask from God mercy and help for these young kids. It is the right thing to do. And what an example she had given. What an encouragement it was for us to learn. Listen, we need to ask the Lord for help, even from the Lord concerning our personal things in our own life, including our very own children. And how God is graciously have helped us to seek to do so over the years, and he's able to work in the hearts of each and every one. And so teaching that they may teach. Their responsibility is to teach. And now notice he's moving now from verse 3, speaking about the aged women. In verses 4 and 5, he's speaking about the younger women, the tseirot. And you notice that verses 4 and 5, he continues and he says, the apostle Shaul Paul speaking to Titus, and he said about the older women should teach, but notice who they are teaching, verse 4, that they will teach the young women. Again is the word to be, notice, to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good obedience to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Shaul Paul instructing Titus that he will now give this instruction to the younger generation, to the young women. The elder women will teach the younger women, and the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. In other words, when they are getting married and they now establish a home, to love their husbands, to love their children. In other words, to be a homemaker. Now, I know we're living in the days in which most families, both the husbands as well as the wives, are working outside of their homes. But there is some guidance for us here in these verses that it is such a healthy thing for the mothers, for the wives, to love their husband, to love their children. Notice verse 5, to be discreet. This is a pure, a chaste, pure, keepers at home. Keepers at home, good obedience to their own husbands. Now, what a wonderful thing when a sister is running, you might say, the house, the affairs of the home. It reminds me, doesn't it remind us of what Shlomo, Solomon, the king of Israel, wrote about the virtuous woman? The virtuous woman in Psalm, in Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 31, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? And he gives us a list from Proverbs 31 verses 10 to 31 of the things that this godly, virtuous, in Hebrew we call it Eshet Chayil. Eshet Chayil, virtuous woman. She is the one that her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hand. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth up also while it is yet night, and she giveth food to her household and portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loin with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff, and so on. There is a list. I just read from verses 10 to verse 19, but there is a list of the things that the older women ought to teach the younger women, and the younger women to be a godly women that love their husbands, love their children, and that they are keepers at homes. What an amazing example it is here as we see it in Titus chapter 2 and verse 5. And I want you to notice the last portion of verse 5. Why she ought to be like this? Notice that the word of God be not blasphemed. That the word of God be not blasphemed. That expression, blasphemed, means despised. Despised. Oftentimes, we make mistakes and we think that, what does the woman do at the home? We don't realize the hard labor that our wives, our mothers have been working in taking care of our own homes and our family. Taking care in every form and sphere, making sure that things are done right and a blessing for our own family. What an amazing privilege the women are called to have in these verses 4 and 5. Now notice that we are moving along, and now he's speaking about the younger men, and notice what he said about the younger men in verses 6, 7, and 8. He says in verse 6, young men, likewise, exhort. Here is Titus to exhort. To be, notice again the word to be, And the word to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, and notice he continues in verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil things to say of you. Now the young men, the young brothers, are also exhorted in verses 6 to 8 to be sober-minded. Again, you notice how many times the word sober. The word sober means simply level-headed. Have straight, you think aright. You have a sound and sober-minded. And be an example. An example, as it says here in the next verse, a pattern in verse 7. People look. People see how you conduct yourself. How many young men we see, and I know here, even from the assembly here, there are some of the young men that when every time when I come to speak at the meetings, and after they help me to carry my things to go to my car so I can drive back home, I'm always fascinated with these young brothers. How they are caring for you, how they are helpful, and some of them are already married, and what an example they are. They are seeking to be sober-minded, showing themselves as an example, good works, acting good, doing the right things, and in doctrine showing uncorruptness. They maintain the truth of the Word of God, do not allow it false teaching to be crept in, and then they have gravity and sincerity, they are sound in speech, and that they, no one can, in other words, condemn them, that when there will be someone who will oppose them, they will know how to respond to them in a godly fashion, in a biblically fashion, having no evil things to say of you. Now you can see the standard that the apostle is giving Titus to teach the people of God in the island of Crete. So, after he's speaking about the older men, older women, younger men, he doesn't stop there, but now he's speaking about the servants. You notice in verses 9 and 10, the word for servants is come from the Greek word doulos. It is the Hebrew word eved or avadim. The word eved means slave. And apparently, brothers and sisters, during the days of the Apostle Shaul Paul, in the days of the Roman Empire, many slaves became believers in Yeshua. Now, those slaves did not stop to be slaves. They remained slaves while they were still under the Roman Empire authority. So, they are still slaves. How they ought to conduct themselves now as slaves to their masters. So if you have slave, you also have a master. A master needed to treat the slaves in the right way, the believing masters, and the believing slaves were to submit to the authority of their masters. And so notice the exhortation, the instruction to the servants, to the slaves, in verse 9 and verse 10. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not talking back. Then he said, not, and notice that very interesting word, in other words, not robbing, not poloning, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Now the servants, the slaves, were not to talk back to their masters. Now obviously in those days, I don't think if a slave will speak to his master, I'm wondering even if he's going to remain alive in the Roman under the Roman Empire. But if we can apply it to ourselves as servants, or we have jobs, we have workplace, we have a boss who is responsible over us, How are we relating to those that are in authority over us at a workplace, at a business place, those that are in authority over us? Well, it says here three things about these. Number one, to be obedient. Number two, not to take or not to talk back against those that are our masters, not to talk back at them. And number three, not to steal from them, because if you are going to do in such a way, what happened, according to verse 10, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. In other words, if you doing such a thing, taking away that which is not belong to you, you are not adorning the doctrine of God. And the word for adorning, the name to honor God. We are not honoring God when we behave in such a way. So, obedient, not talking back, and not taking away from them that which do not belong to you. The Apostle Paul is saying unto the servants, unto the slaves. So, in the first 10 verses, Shaul Paul has spoken the way in which the believers are to conduct themselves. The aged men, the aged women, the young ladies, the young gentlemen, and the slaves, all of them to have a conduct or to conduct themselves in a way that it is pleasing to God and being a good testimony in a world that is around them. But now, quickly, I want you to notice the last verses. These are beautiful verses in chapter 2 and verse 11 to 15. We have those 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 5 verses in which the Apostle Paul is instructing all the groups, whether they are old or young, boy or girl, male or female, slave or free, among the believers, is instructing them concerning the grace of God. The grace of God. And he gives them this instruction to help them along. And I want you to notice what he says here about the grace of God. In verse 11, the Apostle Paul said to Titus, "For the grace of God, chesed ha-Elohim in Hebrew, for the grace of God which bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men." Paul is saying, you are to change your behavior and to be different than the world around you. Why? Because the grace of God, chesed ha-Elohim, the grace of God that brings salvation had appeared unto all men. Now, what is the grace of God, Paul, you and I might ask him? Well, the grace of God that brings salvation is the fact that Yeshua, Jesus, God the Son, who became a man, went all the way in his life, all the way, and he ended up dying on a shameful cross for the sin of mankind. That's the grace of God. The grace of God had finally appeared in a person. God is always gracious. God is always loving and gracious, and we say, El Rachum Vechanun, God who is merciful and long-suffering. He always was. But in the fullness of time, this God of ours, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our own people, Israel, have appeared in the person of the Son, the Messiah Yeshua himself. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. God now in the person of Yeshua the Messiah came down, was born to the Virgin Miriam, lived 33 years of perfection here in this world, and was taken by wicked hand and placed upon a Roman cross. And there, if you remember, dear beloved brothers and sisters, Yeshua cried, my God, Elohi, Elohi, lama azavtani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God had to forsake this perfect man and to judge him in order to provide salvation to a wicked world. For the grace of God that brought salvation has appeared unto all men. Some 2,000 years ago, Yeshua the Messiah was born to the Virgin Miriam in the city of Bethlehem. He lived in the city of Nazareth. And yet he died by wicked hand on a Roman cross. And it is there that, if you remember, he cried in John 19, "It is finished. It is finished." God had been satisfied. Salvation for all men is now provided. Since Yeshua the Messiah died and he was buried and he rose on the third day. In other words, what he's really saying to the older men, the older women, the younger women, the young men and the slaves, the servants, he says, listen, you have to change your life because the grace of God that bringeth salvation unto all men had appeared. And it appeared in the person of Yeshua from Nazareth. The loveliest man, the perfect man, the holy man, the undefiled man, the man that Isaiah called the man of sorrows, that had been acquainted with grief. That was the man. That was the grace of God who in the fullness of time had appeared in the person of his son. In the book of Galatians we read, in the fullness of time, Galatians 4, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, in order to redeem them which were under the law. The Yeshua, the Messiah, came in order to provide a salvation for mankind. That's the grace of God. God's grace was always existing, and He had always shown it to our forefathers, the people of Israel, in past age, but in the fullness of time it appeared in the person of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, who came to die here on the cross. And it brings salvation unto all men. Not all men avail themselves of this salvation, but the provision is for all men. In order to enjoy that, you have to believe that He is that indeed the one who died for you on that shameful cross. You know, in Isaiah 53 and verse 10, it says, "It pleased the Lord to bruise Him." The word for please comes from our Hebrew tongue, Chafetz Adonai Dekao, that Jehovah had to judge Him, because there was no other solution for mankind. Only through the Mashiach, that God wanted Him to die so there will be hope for you and I. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He had put Him to grief. Isaiah 53 and verse 10. So the grace of God that brought salvation and appeared unto all men. This is verse 11. That happened already in the past. But now, notice that verse 12. What does the grace of God do? Not only it brings salvation, but the same grace of God teaching us many lessons as believers today. And so in verse 12 it said, teaching us. The same grace of God, or verse 11, is also teaching us the denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. You see, brothers and sisters, we live in a world that reject the Messiah. We live in a world that don't want to hear about God. So the grace of God that already brought salvation when Yeshua the Messiah died in past days, now the same grace of God is teaching us to live differently in a world that is contrary to the will of God. Notice it says here, to live, that teaching us the denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly where? In this present world. Now, do you know that the world is headed up by Satan? The God of this world, 2 Corinthians tells us, the God of this world that blinded the mind of them that believe not, lest the glorious gospel should shine unto them. You know that John said in 1 John chapter 2 verse 15, love not the world, nor the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which is not of the Father. He doesn't mean that we should not love people. He doesn't mean that we should not love the plant kingdom. He doesn't mean that we should not love the animal kingdom in this world. But what he says, we are not to love the system, the world system, which deny God and deny the person of Yeshua, Jesus, our Lord and our Messiah. To live different than a world who deny God and deny His Son. James, Yaakov said in James 4:4, don't you know that a friendship with the world is an enmity against God? We are to behave different as believers. When we pass by, when we are in communication with many people whom we ought to love and seek to share the gospel with, but they are oftentimes seeking to lead us astray away from the person of Yeshua the Messiah, who loved us so much and gave Himself for us. And how quickly, if we are not careful, if we are not sober-minded and thinking about the responsibility that we have, how quickly Satan is causing us to be attracted to the world who deny Yeshua the Messiah. And we are in the danger of it, beloved brothers and sisters. We are no better than anybody else. Doesn't matter how old you are in the faith, the human nature is sinful. And Satan is able constantly to attract our hearts and to turn us away if we are not careful and we are not close to the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. And oftentimes, to our own shame, we can say that we fail the Lord in so many ways. And so the apostle tells Titus, listen, the grace of God already appeared. It brought salvation. Whoever will believe can enjoy eternal relationship with God. But listen, the same grace of God that brought salvation also teaching us the denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You see, the world is not going to be fixed. Sometimes people think that we're going to fix the world. That world, until the second coming of Yeshua the Messiah, is going to remain contrary to the things of the Lord. We are not going to bring the kingdom. The Lord is going to bring the kingdom in His time. What we are to bring is sinners to be saved and to be eternally related in relationship with Him. The Lord, in due time, at His second coming, He is going to establish the Messianic kingdom, and Israel, our people, will be restored in the future day. But until then, people are born and people are dying, and if they die without the Messiah, they're going to be eternally lost. And our responsibility, in some small measure, with all the failure that we have, is to be an example. Some small measure. Not much. A little bit. So we will lead others to know Yeshua the Messiah. And then notice that in verse 13 he continues and he says, not only that the grace of God brings salvation, verse 11, not only that the grace of God is teaching us to live godly, but the grace of God causes us to be waiting, that the word, notice verse 13, looking or waiting for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. The same grace of God that brought salvation is the same grace of God that is teaching us, is the same grace of God that causes us to be waiting for the day of the coming of the Messiah. Looking, notice that, or waiting for the blessed hope. It's not maybe it will happen. No, it is a sure, blessed hope that the believer ought to know that the Messiah will come and establish one day the kingdom that He promised. He will appear one day. And He will take His rightful place here in this world. The glorious appearing of the, notice, of the great God and our Savior. What we learn from here, that Yeshua is a divine person. Emmanuel, Isaiah 7 and verse 14. El Gibor, Isaiah 9 and verse 6. He's God, and He's a Savior. And He became Moshiach, He became a Savior when He died a substitutionary death upon the Roman cross, and He was buried and He rose again for our justification. And we are not only to recognize that salvation was brought by the grace of God, that we are to be taught to live a godly life here in this world because of the grace of God, but the very same grace of God is causing us to look forward, to wait for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Yeshua, the Messiah. What a day that will be when He will appear. And then Paul closed this section by saying, notice how he goes back to the price that was paid in verse 14. Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. You notice that, beloved brothers and sisters? Yeshua the Messiah gave Himself. You remember what He said in John 10? The good shepherd give Himself for the sheep. Lay down His life. John 10:17, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself that I may take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. No one actually took Yeshua's life, though they did. But He gave Himself voluntarily. What attracts our hearts to Him? That He laid down His life for us. He gave Himself a ransom for many. You and I never asked from Him to come, but He came anyway. You and I rejected God by nature, but God says, I love you. You and I said, love darkness rather than light by nature, but God says, I am going to send my anointed one, the Mashiach, and He will die for the sin of Israel, for the sin of the nations of the world. He will die in order to redeem us from all iniquities and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. That the word peculiar doesn't mean strange. It means chosen generation. A chosen people. God said of our own people in Deuteronomy chapter 7 that you are chosen generation. Israel were elected by God. The believers in the present day age of the body of Messiah are elected by God. We are called a peculiar people, but we ought to be zealous of good works. And the final things that Titus is told by Shaul Paul in verse 15, these things speak. You notice in verse 1, he says speak. In verse 15, he says speak. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you, Titus. Make sure that you tell people that. Make sure that you exhort people. Make sure that you rebuke those who need to be rebuked. And let no one despise you. Have the authority that you have as the one that was delegated by the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Shaul Paul. Speak those things with authority. Don't let anyone despise you, Titus. Well, brothers and sisters, what an amazing exhortation Titus was called to tell the local believers in that island of Crete. There were many cities there. He is to establish elders, but to also to teach in every city the things that will help them to grow spiritually and establish a godly messianic Christian or Hebrew Christian or messianic assemblies. May the Lord help us. May the Lord bless His word. Can we say amen to that?
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.